All right, welcome back to Who's Talking, third segment tonight, and we are excited to have one of Habbo's favorite guests, former groomsman, former team co-captain, former UVA women's b-ball coach, a man that transitioned from radio to TV, and he's done it forever now. We bring back Dan Bonner. Welcome, Dan.
Which is amazing because he really does have a face made for radio. You know, it's amazing he's been on TV all these years.
Frank, I'm glad you're on the show tonight.
Well, you know, you know who your friends are, Dan.
Nah,
yes,
I'm truly the one that has a face made for radio. But anyway, Dan, thanks for joining us tonight to talk a little basketball. Can you believe it's basketball season again already?
Well, it's hard to imagine, Jim. It seems like no time at all has passed, but it's fun to get going again. I know that my wife, Terry, wants me out of the house, and so she'll get her wish here very soon.
That's right. This is probably her favorite time of year, you know.
I think it is.
Listen, we're gonna take a look at the ACC, but since this is Who's Talking, let's start with Virginia. Talk a little bit about the Virginia team. Obviously, a lot of talent, but a lot of new guys. What's your assessment of the Cavaliers?
Jim, I think that Virginia, under Tony Bennett, certainly they have reestablished themselves as a premier program, not only in the ACC, but in the country. And one of the challenges that premier programs face every year is to replace guys they have lost. And Tony Bennett has shown that he and his staff have done a pretty good job with that. I think, though, that the Virginia fans may need to temper expectations early because that group of people that they lost, you know, Malcolm Brogdon, Anthony Gill, Mike Toby, and even Evan Nolte, that was such a significant portion of their team, not only in terms of points scored and things like that, but just in terms of character and leadership. And I think that's a void that really is going to be difficult to fill, much more so than anything that might happen on the court. And so I think it'll be a real challenge for Virginia, but I expect them to be certainly among the contenders in the ACC, and I expect them to be among the contenders nationally.
Did you see Austin Nichols play when he was still at Memphis?
I did not. I may have seen him on television, Jim, but it escapes me. I never did a Memphis game where he played, if that's the question.
Yeah, well, otherwise, ACC, everybody's talking about Duke. They got Grayson Allen back and a couple of blue-chip first-year guys. Is Duke as good as advertised?
I think they can be, but the key to Duke, as well as to everybody else in college basketball, is can you avoid serious injuries? And if I read correctly today, they lost their third freshman to injury today. So they've lost now three of their guys, and nobody knows how serious the injuries are and how it will affect them, but one guy's got a knee problem, another guy's got a foot problem, and I think today's was a knee problem as well, but I just think when you have those kinds of issues, you just don't know how people are going to react and whether they're even going to be available. So can Duke be what everybody says? Absolutely, but I think everybody's got to be healthy, and that's an open question right at the moment is, are they healthy?
And obviously North Carolina's going to be very good. Louisville will be, Syracuse. The thing that strikes me is the mid part of the ACC. NC State, Notre Dame, Florida State, Miami, Virginia Tech, Clemson, Pitt. All of those are going to be really good basketball teams. You know, I think we say it every year that the ACC is more balanced than it's ever been. But once again, it's going to be a very deep league.
I think it is. I don't think it would be outside the realm of possibility if the ACC went double digits in terms of sending teams to the tournament. And when I say that, you say, wait a minute. And that's just a possibility. I think a lot of teams, and Virginia Tech is one that I'll throw in there right away, have to play very well in the non-conference portion of the schedule. I think Virginia Tech is going to be much improved, but I think that, probably the best they're going to be able to do in the conference is right at 500. And so if you're 500 in the ACC, what did you do in the non-conference portion of your schedule? And I've already talked to a couple of newspaper reporters who are complaining about Virginia Tech's weak non-conference schedule. And, you know, I've looked at it, and I don't know, it depends on who they play in the preseason tournaments in which they are involved. But if you go 9-9, let's say, in the ACC with a very weak non-conference schedule, then you might have a problem.
What about this first-year kid? Well, I guess he got hurt last year. Dennis Smith down at NC State. How good is he?
you know, I've never seen him play, and so my opinion doesn't really mean very much, but everything I read and hear indicates that he's really, really a good player, and I think North Carolina State is going to be better simply because they won't be so dependent on one guy. That obviously the Smith kid will be an important cog, but I don't think he'll dominate the ball the way Cat Barber did, and I think NC State will be better for it.
Dan, the two players that we know are hurt for Duke are Harry Giles, and I think the other fellow's name is Jason Tatum. Didn't that sound right?
Yes.
I don't know about the third player. That must have been announced today, but clearly if a player can't even practice yet, he's not going to be ready at the. Neither of those players can be ready for the start of the season. Although they do have Grayson Allen, Matt Jones, and Emile Jefferson back, which is a pretty darn good nucleus. Traveling calls aside, I will always
Grayson Allen. Marcus Bolden, Frank, is the other guy who I read was hurt today.
There you go. Virginia Tech. I looked at their opening schedule, and until they play Michigan in the ACC Big Ten. They don't really play anybody. I think they do play New Mexico, but I don't know about New Mexico basketball. Do you, Hobo?
Not right. I mean, obviously they've had some good teams over the years. Dan, who's it? Is Steve Alford still at? And he left New Mexico. Who's the head coach at New Mexico?
He's at UCLA. Yeah. Actually, I'm not the coach at New Mexico. The last few years has been. The Neil guy who played at Georgia Tech.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we love the Lobos down there in Albuquerque, you know. Yeah. The pit.
You made the point, Jim, and it's a good one. They have had good teams, but I'm not sure how strong they are. They're going to be this year, and that's the point about Virginia Tech's program. If you're going to play a very weak non-conference schedule, then when you get an opportunity against a Michigan or against another really good team, they become games you have to win. And if you don't win those games, then you're at the end of the season and you're in the pot with everybody else trying to make it to the NCAA tournament. The one thing that the committee holds against you is your non-conference schedule. What was your non-conference strength of schedule? And of course, it doesn't make any difference. If Virginia Tech goes 12-6 in the ACC, it doesn't matter who they played in the non-conference as long as they won most of those games. But I think a lot of teams, when we're talking about 10 teams maybe being in the NCAA tournament, you're talking about teams being right around 500 competing for an NCAA tournament at-large bid. And those teams have to get some critical wins in the non-conference portion of the schedule. So we're not sitting in a situation where you can just wait and play well in the conference. You have to play well in the non-conference portion of the schedule.
Dan, I had a question. I want to talk about the Tar Heels of North Carolina. Do you see any similarities between the challenge that Roy Williams faces with integrating new talent with his veterans, as well as the same situation that Tony Bennett faces at Virginia?
Well, in a way, Frank. But again, I go back to my thought that I'm not sure that anybody in the ACC lost more in terms of key performers.
Yes.
And I just don't mean scoring and rebounding. I mean leadership. I mean character. I mean all that kind of stuff that goes into it. I think Virginia suffered heavier losses than anybody else.
Gotcha. Well, I just thought in terms of Bryce Johnson being, you know, the big-time scorer down low and leading the team in rebounds, sort of like Anthony Gill was at Virginia.
Probably the biggest loss of Virginia since Parkhill and Hobgood graduated.
Certainly since Parkhill.
God. And the other thing was Marcus Page. And I don't think Marcus Page meant as much to North Carolina as Malcolm Brogdon clearly did for Virginia. And who's to know how much of an impact Mike Toby had, particularly in his last 2 years at Virginia. But anyway.
Anybody in the middle of the pack that you're looking at that might be able to break into the upper echelon of the ACC this year?
Well, you know, I think that Florida State, once again, has a very talented group. And in most of the preseason stuff with the ACC, they're 4, 5, 6, 7. And I certainly think that they have the capability to finish higher than that. I think Clemson has an excellent player in Blossom Game. I think Blossom Game is not only one of the best players in the ACC, but he's one of the best players in the country. And I think Brad Brownell is a guy who can coach defense, and they've got a couple of pieces. I see Notre Dame maybe taking a little bit of a step back.
Yeah.
I don't really see Georgia Tech being at a point yet where they're going to compete. And I think it's going to be another long, long season in Boston. But I think Wake Forest is not ready to compete yet either, but I think they will be better.
Yep.
So I think you have Notre Dame taking a step back, Wake Forest, Georgia Tech improved, but not enough. Boston College, probably another long year. But I think everybody else is in the mix.
What about Stallings at Pitt, the new Pitt coach that came from Vanderbilt? You know, he obviously he's got a lot of experience, has been a head coach a long time. How will he do in Pittsburgh?
You know, that's a very interesting question. I think Pittsburgh is another one of those teams that suffered key losses in terms of leadership. I mean, James Robinson was one of the top point guards in the country, and they're going to have to make do without him. But I think Jamel Artis and Michael Young are two of the best players in the ACC, and I think they're pretty good guys to, if you're going to base your team on veteran players, they're two pretty good guys. And Kevin Stallings, you say, he's got a lot of experience, and when you are on a team that has a brand new head coach, that opens up opportunities for people who maybe didn't think they were going to get an opportunity. Guys who figure their position is totally set, now they got to reevaluate that. And so you sometimes get better competition. So I think Pitt has a chance to be okay.
Looking nationally, obviously when you look at the national polls, several ACC teams are in the top 10. But outside the ACC, I guess the usual suspects, Kentucky, Kansas, who else stands out? And Villanova returns a pretty good basketball team.
Villanova is going to be very strong. I would not be surprised if they could make another deep run into the NCAA tournament. They've got all those guards and they've got experience. I think Oregon, a lot of people are talking about Oregon. Again, a very experienced, very talented team. Indiana, I think they're not rated as highly as a lot of teams, but and the Bryant kid, Thomas Bryant, they have a very, very solid inside game. Xavier has been very good. I think they're going to be very good again. So I think on a national basis, you're going to have a lot of really interesting games. And I think you got to watch the non-conference portion of the schedule very closely. Who's going to get the big wins?
What are some of your early broadcasts?
Well, I start on Friday. I go up to Maryland. Maryland joining the Big Ten was really a good thing for me because the Big Ten networks like guys to be close by. So I've got a couple of Maryland games in December. I've got a trip to Penn State in November. I get a trip over to Charlottesville. I have the East Carolina game there in December. So the season for a guy like me starts a little slowly in November and December, but then once we get conference play cranked up, I'll be all over the place.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing you that for that East Carolina contest in Charlottesville. Always good to catch up.
That's Tuesday, December the 6th.
There you are.
Okay, all right.
Coming soon.
Well, Dan, it was great to see you at ACC Operation Basketball, and better still having you on the air tonight. We want to thank you for always being a reliable contributor and knowledgeable.
He's a very bright guy.
Hobo never gives me time to thank our guests.
He goes back to the student athlete tradition at the University of Virginia.
I wish you'd followed his mold.
No, I should have. Yes.
All right, we're gonna say enough of this. Thank you, Dan. Have a great night. We appreciate your contributions. All right,
thanks. Thank you, Jim.
Take care, Dan. All right, we're gonna take our break now. Come back on the other side, and we're going to work on ACC games this week and talk about upcoming shows. And stay tuned. This is still Who's Talking. One more segment.